Welcome to the Fuller Money Audio Commentary. This is David Fuller on Thursday, the 6th of January, recording at 9:17 Greenwich Mean Time. Now, first the highlights. See here. In Asia, we had mostly mixed activity. The best performance was on the upside, and that was the Malaysian stock market, which has been very much of a laggard recently. Should have a little bit further catch-up potential. Elsewhere, bonds, haven't really been paying much attention to those, but it looks very little change in here today. The dollar, after two big days on the downside, and that paused in its decline, but this is a bit of a dead cat bounce in terms of activity, except against the Canadian dollar, where it's up quite strongly in here today. And it's always interesting. From time to time, I've mentioned that I ask subscribers that, if you don't mind, to keep us in touch with the bleat factor. In other words, when governments or corporate types or unions, but especially if it's politicians and central bankers, if they start to bleat about the strength of their currency, I'd love to be able to share that information. I'd love to have that information to be able to share it with all subscribers. And the Canadian dollar had been mighty strong recently. The dollar, U.S. dollar, was testing its low against the Canadian just yesterday before this bounce. Overall, my view, and I've written a lot about the dollar in Comment of the Day, which I haven't yet posted because I haven't quite completed it, but overall, I think we have seen the dollar's peak for this rally. I think we saw that last month, and that it will range lower. But it's not going to go down in a straight line. It has had quite a fall in the last couple of days prior to today. Now, precious metals, this was interesting. I've really been resisting the temptation to go back in there, but I think not too difficult to anticipate resistance that prompted me to close out the rest of my close out my gold longs a couple of days ago, has produced another downward dynamic in here today. And we're currently looking at the April gold position at 530, and the bigger move was, as is usually the case, was in silver. And so silver is well off its highs that we had seen yesterday, and currently down, currently trading at 881 on the March contract. Now, you know my view. I really do feel that gold and silver are buys on setbacks, but given the fact that the last upward trends, those good ones that started in November and then rallied through most of December, given the fact that those trends accelerated and then ended with some very clear downward dynamics, I think keys, and we saw a quite sharp shakeout, which created a buying opportunity. You know my view on gold. Anytime we see a correction of $30 or more, I feel that it's in a buying range. And given the speed with which markets moved right back up, I took out all my long positions on the rally. Now, I'll stick with that same sort of rule of thumb, reactions following a good move on the upside, reactions of $30 or more. What I don't know, and no one can know at this stage, is will we see markets go back and take out the December reaction lows, gold and silver? Will we see them go back and take out the December reaction lows? Yesterday, I would have said, no, that's really quite unlikely. Today, having seen the downward dynamic, I'm not so sure. I think that that is a possibility, but I don't think we would see it go much lower, and I certainly don't think it would last, a decline of that magnitude would last very long. So I'm keen to buy some of these again, but I'm going to resist the temptation to plunge in after what have been some negative technical signals. Elsewhere, the aluminium market, now that is continuing to push upwards in here. And now, did I say aluminium? I beg your pardon. Aluminium may have pushed upwards. I think it was fairly steady today. I was nickel. I want to mention the nickel market. And that was up another $200 today. That continues to recover. Remember, nickel had been one of the classic laggards along with tin last year. And the significance of nickel pushing up like this is that you get a cheap stock in a very strong position, and I'm thinking now of Inco. Strikes me as very, very attractive on a very, very low rating and very, very low valuation, and that valuation is based on weaker prices for nickel than I expected to see. I've made this point on a number of occasions, and I'm kind of kicking myself for not buying more Inco the other day. This had quite a good upward dynamic yesterday. It's come off just a tiny bit in here today, I believe, but very little, and I may yet buy a bit more Inco. If I have one real reservation about that share on its own right, it's because of the recently completed, I think it's been completed, merger with Falconbridge Nickel. And even though that was a friendly merger and a logical one, that these things always create all sorts of inefficiencies. And my rule of thumb on mergers is that they tend to be a liability for about the first 3 years. So that's the negative. I think it's an acceptable negative. I think, as far as I'm concerned, although I certainly wouldn't go overboard in a nickel position for that reason, because there's a risk that the best gains may not be seen until 2007, 2008. But it's a stock that is so conservatively valued, as I say, valuations based on nickel at lower prices, that I probably won't be able to resist picking up a little bit more. Another factor maybe staying my hand a bit is that I do feel this is a little bit this is a bit late in the cycle to be participating. But again, Inco is not the type of stock that I would be worried about being sandbagged in, because it hasn't seen the big gains that we've seen in a number of other mining and other types of issues. Now, another point that I should make in here, let's talk about this energy sector. We had what's called the inventories report came out. That's a sort of statistic. It's not exactly statistic du jour, statistic du week. In here, but the inventories were not down as much as people had expected, or they were up a bit. Now, that caused an initial shakeout, and then crude recouped most of that, and gasoline actually moved back to the upside, and those gains faded a little bit later. Natural gas had another big down day today, but looks very, very overextended that I bought a bit more on the baby steps basis. Always feels a bit masochistic when I do that, but it is the object of the exercise to buy low. The more conservative strategy being, of course, just to wait until there's an upward dynamic that shows that it's starting to recover, and that might have been a better choice this time around for me. But energy, I think, is the biggest risk. Appreciating energy prices is going to be the biggest risk of the stock market. And that doesn't exactly tally with natural gas and free fall, but this is so volatile that can snap upwards. I expect it to snap upwards very dramatically before too long. That will require a bit of a cold snap, or I'll put it this way, the end of the very warm weather, seasonably unusually warm, unseasonably warm weather that is occurring in the United States coast to coast. whereas the crude oil price, again, is much firmer. Gasoline prices are much firmer than people had been forecasting. So this is really likely to, well, first, I think that we're going to see energy prices moving higher, and that could quickly turn from what had been a tailwind and what people had hoped would continue to be a tailwind for stock markets into, in other words, a previous setback, could turn into a very, very strong headwind. I think that's a real risk. So I think those are the main areas that stand out that I know that a number of subscribers are interested in. So I'll bring this to a halt here today and get on with completing comment of the day. All the best.